important thing. Don't forget, everybody. I said in Bible class, I've forgotten before. Didn't go well. So, especially for the men out there, you might want to remember this. And again, I speak from deep personal pain and anguish when I talk about this. So, you might remember. But I wanted to talk about this subject this morning about the idea of can we all see the Bible alike? This is a big question when it comes to the world around us. Everyone has their own views about scriptures and doctrines and the church and salvation. But is it even possible to see the Bible in the same light? That's a great question, because it's a very important question and one that says we can have unity or not unity. So can we have unity on the things the Bible says? So we can have, for example, we can have fake unity, so we can kind of agree to disagree. But can we actually agree on what the Bible says? On things that matter, things of obligation, if you will. Well, let's look at some verses together, if you would. Number one, Moses said we could see scriptures alike. In fact, if you look at Deuteronomy chapter 29 and verse 29, he says, the secret things belong unto God. But those things which are revealed belong to us and our children forever, that we may do all the words of this law. That was meant for all of Israel, and everyone who would come and be part of Israel through adopting the tenets and doctrines of the Israelites. So the idea is you can be an Israelite, you can be born a Jew and follow God as one, and also you can come from outside and also be a proselyte and also follow God as one. So with Moses' law, you could come together and see it that way. What about King David? King David said this. He said, through your precepts, I get understanding. Therefore, I hate every false way. So we can know the true way from the false way, he says. Again, very powerful, because, and now David wasn't just saying that for himself, but for everyone who would read Psalm 119. That we can come to God, and we can love God's truth and hate every false way, so we can see the difference in truth and false, right? So it's not like there's a true and false way for you and a true and false way for me, but there is a true and false way we can understand together. By the way, that's not always easy, is it? John also said we could. In John, chapter 20, verse 30 and 31, he said, these things are written that you may believe that Jesus Christ is God's Son, and that believing you might have life in his name. But not just John, how about Jesus? Jesus said in John 17, 20, 21, I don't pray for these alone, but also for those who believe in me through their word, that they may all may be one as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that you have sent me. So we can be one in Jesus through belief in the words that God gave. That's very important. Even Paul said we couldn't. Paul was more pointed about it, but Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 10, he says, I implore you, I beseech you, I beg you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that ye all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, that there be no divisions among you. Now, he's not talking about location, is he? He's not talking about a church in Corinth, a church in Galatia, a church in Philippi. He's talking about the idea that they, as a people, be one people. How? Well, that ye be perfectly joined together in the same mind and same judgment. That we can look at the things of Jesus and have the same mind and same judgment. That seems like a tall order. Why? Well, all these spokesmen for God declare that through study of the scriptures, we are able to see things alike. But there are problems with this. But there are some things that can cloud our vision and hinder our understanding. There are. What are these things? Well, there's doctrine that's not true doctrine. There's things that are true that get in our way. For example, Jesus said in Matthew 13, "In them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which says, 'By hearing you shall hear, and you shall not understand. And seeing you shall see, and shall not perceive.'" So there's something that gets away. So someone can see and hear, but not really see and hear. How does that work exactly? There's something that gets in the way of these two things that should be so clear to us, but they're not always. He says, verse 15, "For this people's heart is waxed gross. Their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed." Listen, any time they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and should understand with their heart and should be converted, and I should heal them. So again, there's a problem there. They're not sharp, but they're rather dull and not hearing, not understanding. What's the problem? Now, in 2 Thessalonians, Paul says this, "Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders." So Satan's the problem. "And with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they received not the love of the truth that they might be saved." So while Satan gets in the way of these things, how's it happen? How is our mind clouded? How is our ears made dull? Because of lack of the love of the truth. This happens, by the way, whenever we come to Scripture or come to a principle of Scripture and we say, "Well, that's not convenient for me. I don't like that. I want to keep doing these things. I want to not have this truth in my life, which is kind of inconvenient, maybe for family or for friends. So I will just not adopt that truth." Well, here we see it said that means we don't love the truth. Because when it comes to, "I must love the truth of God more than any other thing on earth. I must love God's truth. I must love God above anything else. And if I'm going to love God, I've got to love His truth." You got to love your wife. Of course I do. Especially Valentine's Day. Don't forget. So the idea is we love our family, we love our spouse, but we put God's love first. But if I'm to have a good relationship with my spouse, my family, my friends, I must be a good person. How's that happen? By principles of truth. But if I love myself more than that, I ignore those things and it causes trouble over time. He says, "And for this cause, God shall send them a strong delusion, that they should believe a lie, that they might be damned, who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness." That's the key. Why is my mind clouded? Why do I believe a delusion? Why do I believe a false teaching? Because I love pleasure more. I love things about that are selfish to me. I love those things more. That leads to trouble. That leads to not being able to see and hear God's loving, saving truth in my life. Also, sometimes relatives can be a problem. Now, again, there aren't problems because they're relatives. They're relatives because they cause us to maybe not see things like we should. Matthew chapter 10, verse 34 through 37. Jesus says this very strong language. It's very, very biting, strong language. He says, "Think not that I've come to send peace on earth. I come not to send peace, but a sword." How's that? "For I'm come to set a man at variance against his father, and a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law." Well, how does that work exactly? He says, "He that loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me, and he that loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me." So the idea is, when it comes to the gospel and what the gospel says for my life, that can separate people that are very close in a family way. Why? Because some want to be what God wants them to be, and some don't want that. That's what happens. So what divides houses, that's how the gospel can be a very uniting or divisive thing. Because, listen, As we saw in Bible class, either you're with Christ or against Christ, there's really no middle ground there. So we love God. Now, we may have differences as we seek to love God together. The fact is, those things can be overcome, as we've seen, by studying scriptures and reading scripture together and trying to figure these things out, right? That's how it works. And everyone that hath forsaken houses or brethren, this is what happens when we actually pursue truth above everything else. What if I lose my family? What if I lose those who are my relatives? For everyone that hath forsaken houses or brethren or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my name's sake, for Jesus' sake, not for selfish purposes, shall receive 100-fold and shall inherit everlasting life. So this is so key. This is why the church is called the family of God. We can't have our family of God be a people we just see and notice once a week. A family, those who are tied deeper than that, that we know and love each other, that we are truly family. This is what brings people, some of those we talked a moment ago, into the church, because they see the love of God, how people love each other. We must love the truth above all else, but also love each other as family and show the connection there. Not just people we saw one time and hope we see again sometime again, but those who we actually love and care for, brothers and sisters in Christ. It's not secular, it's true family, which is so very important. But sometimes the crowd also can cause us to not want to follow God. It can be a cloud in our vision for serving God as we should. He says, thou shalt not follow, this is Moses, by the way, in Exodus 23, he says, thou shalt not follow a multitude to do evil, neither shalt thou speak in a cause to decline after many to wrest judgment. Meaning, don't go along with a crowd to do or say or believe false things. Jesus said this about the crowd. He goes, what, in Matthew 7, enter at the straight gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and many there be that go in there. Many there be that go in there, that gate to destruction. And many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate. That word straight means difficult, not easy. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leads into life, and few there be that find it. In chapter 7, verse 21, further on in the chapter that we just read, he explains what this means. He says, few there be that find it. It's not the crowd, it's not the majority. There'll be few that take that difficult way. Now, you and I know that difficult way is also a way of great blessing, but not through the eyes of the world. Through the eyes of the world, the way of being a Christian is hard and difficult and impossible. But God says it's a way of great blessing. In fact, if we love him, he says, we can keep his commandments. And 1 John chapter 5 says, his commandments, by the way, are not grievous. They're not too hard to be born. We can do them. We can follow God's. The more we practice them, the more we are able to follow them. He says, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that doth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Now, number next, what can keep us from seeing God's truth? Pride. In Proverbs 16, verse 18, pride goes before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall. What keeps me from seeing God's principles and God's glory? My own self-pride and self-glory. That says, I need to put me above everything else, that I'm great, that I'm awesome. And we are fearfully and wonderfully made. The prize of God's creation. Of course that's true. But doesn't put us above God and what he wants of us. Because he made us. All things are made by him. John chapter 1. So we are his creation. We are owned by him. And this point is very vital. Even those who aren't Christians are still God's in the sense that he made them. Now when we're blood bought, we become part of the covenant of God's salvation. But even if we're not bought in the blood of Jesus Christ, we're still should be His because of Him creating us. That's very vital. That's very key. It's very important that we realize our place in the cosmos, in this world that God made. Revelation 3:17 says this, "Because thou sayest, I am rich, increase with goods, I have need of nothing, and knowest not," he says, "that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked," because God sees us spiritually. He sees us how we truly are. We see things not as a heart. We see things like we can see the window dressing, but we really can't see who we really are in the eyes of God. That's what the Bible's for, to see us how God sees us, so we can be pure and white and sin-free. We can be washed by the blood of Jesus Christ, and we can walk in that light as He's in light. We can have those sins that we commit washed away on a constant basis as we follow Him. But we have to hear His voice and follow Him, John 10 says. He says, "My sheep hear my voice, and they follow me." I got to follow the master. I got to follow the shepherd. Pride keeps us from being right. It makes us blind and poor. And that word wretched, does it kind of hang in your heart a bit? It kind of hangs in mine. What's wretched? People who are physically well off and rich, but are spiritually poor and destitute. God calls that wretched, disease-filled and mangled and horrible. What keeps me from seeing my true state? My own pride. That keeps me from not being able to say, "Listen, we can be united in God's truth. We can be united in living the Christian life. We can be united in the church. We can be united in wanting to go to heaven together and mean it. Not just say it, but mean it." In Bible class, we saw the difference between the word lego and epikleo. Epikleo means to call upon the name of God, to submit to it. Lego just means to say a word, call it out. Matthew 7, they said, "Lord, Lord," that's lego. That means I'm just going to say a word. I'm going to say Jesus' name and hope that's enough. Epikleo means I'm going to submit to God's authority. I'm going to call upon God's name and try and follow Him to the best of my ability. That's what that means. So we're going to call on God's name. That's used in Acts 22:16. When He says, "Ananias came to Saul and said, Why tarriest thou, Saul? Arise and be baptized, calling upon the name of the Lord." That's such a sweet phrase. Don't just sit there, Saul. Don't just sit there. Arise and live under God's authority. Obey God. Arise and obey God. Arise. Such a powerful, powerful word. He goes on to say, in verse 18, God's counsel is, "I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried with fire, that thou mayest be rich in white raiment and mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness does not appear, and anoint thine eyes with salve that they may see." How's that come? It comes from Christ. Is it magic? It's not magic. It's simply following God's word. And it's simply applying God's word. I like this phraseology that we bathe ourselves in God's scripture. You can see, because we read it, we come to church and we hear it in sermons. But do we bathe in it? Do we really immerse ourselves in God's teaching for our lives? And what's that look like? Well, it looks like we meditate on it in Psalm 1 and we apply it to our lives. We read it. We learn it. Paul said in Romans 12:1-2 that we change our mind, change our life by putting God's word in our hearts. Then we can then discern between good and evil. So the more I apply God's word in my life, the more I can discern between right and wrong. That's fantastic. That's great. But I got to go to Christ. I got to go to him. He's the one. And then we have Satan. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 3 and 4, Paul writes this. He says, "But if our gospel be hidden, it's hidden to them who are lost, in whom the god of this world," that's Satan, "has blinded them, hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine upon them." Now, what's the god of this world do? Remember the verse we saw, that there are some who don't receive the love, the truth, that they might be saved. And they have pleasure in righteousness. The first thing you have to do, the first thing anyone has to do when they come to the gospel is say, "Listen, I have to look at me. Then I look at Christ. But before I can look at Christ like I should, I have to look at my life. I have to look at me and what I'm doing and what I want to make a priority in my life. What's the thing in my life?" Jesus again said, what, Matthew 6:33? "Seek ye first the kingdom of God." I will fail at that. I will mess that up. I'll make a wreck of it from time to time. But can I, as a priority in my life, can someone look at my life and say, "Listen, they're not perfect, but they love the church. They want to put God first." That's the key. I will fail here and there, but as a whole, is that my goal? Can I see the Bible alike? Can we see the Bible alike? Well, who's first? Are you first? Got to look at you. Because if I'm first, I put my wants, my desires, my pleasures first, and we can't see the Bible alike, there's no chance. But if we can, look at the cross, Colossians 3, 1 and 2, that if we can see Christ at the right hand of God, we can see those things. We can see Jesus on God's right hand. I can then, if I look at Jesus, I can then put him first. And I can start to see the Bible the way God wrote it for me, not through my eyes, but through his eyes. There's this thing, these two words that we're not really going to talk about today, but are very important words. You can look them up, or I can preach a sermon on them later. But there's eyes to Jesus and exegesis. You may have heard those. Anybody heard those words before? Exegesis is you go to the scripture and you try and find out what's there, what God meant. Exegesis, to pull out, exit, pull out. What did God say? I want to know what God said. Exegesis. Eisegesis is I'm going to go to the Word, the fountain of life, but instead of pulling out what it's there, I'm going to put myself into it, which means I'm going to put my own desires, my own beliefs, and I'm going to interpret the Bible through me. So exegesis means I'm going to take God's word and I'm going to then take it out and apply it to my life. I'm going to try and be more and more like God. That's exegesis. Not exegesis, but exegesis with a G. Is that alike? Probably do. Eisegesis means I'm going to go and take myself, my likes, my wants, my desires, and put them into Scripture and then interpret it that way. Right? That's what Satan wants us to do. That's what Satan desires of us. That's the problem. That's the God of this world. That's the God of this world that doesn't want you to be a saved person. He wants hell as full as it can be. But Jesus died, so that need not be the case. Although Jesus said, that wide gate, man, many going there. That gate I've made for salvation, that gate which is free for anybody. If you find it, if you travel it, it's a way of glory. But it can be hard times, harder sometimes. And we look back in Bible history. How many times was the majority right? How many times was the majority righteous? Rarely. Rarely. And I would say on a worldwide scale, never. But Moses told God's people, you be careful Don't you, God's people in the Old Testament, don't you follow a multitude to do evil? Let it apply to the people around them, like the Canaanites and the Babylonians, things like that. It also apply to themselves. Don't you follow a multitude do evil? So what's the point? The point is this. As we close the lesson this morning, the Word of God is our key. It's our blueprint. It's our pattern for a good life. In 1 Peter 4:11, the Holy Spirit gives this advice. If any man speak, let him speak as of the oracles of God. You speak God's word. If any man minister, let him do it as the ability which God gives. You serve God with what God gave you. That God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom the praise be praise and dominion forever and ever. How do I praise and please God? How do I show God's dominion? I live that life. That's what I do. I preach His words from His book. That gives praise to God. If I want to preach my opinion or a man-made doctrine, that gives that man the glory, not Jesus Christ. I give God the glory. In Matthew, that's not Matthew, that's Acts 20. He says, therefore I take you to record this day that I'm pure from the blood of all men. Paul said this to the Ephesian elders. He says, for I have not shunned to declare unto you the whole counsel of God. I didn't hold anything back. I gave you all of it. That's how they can have the same Christian life, because he told them all what they needed to hear. In Romans 6, 17 and 18, he says, but God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart. What? That pattern, that form of doctrine, which was delivered to you, being then made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness. How? By bathing in the Word. By submitting to the Word. By hearing the shepherd's voice and following him, the Word. That's how we do it. Now, friends, this, in abstract, is super simple. What keeps someone from wanting to do that very thing? The crowd, family, pride. That's what we have to, when it comes to ourselves. When we are baptized into Christ, we become dead men. We rush to rock newness of life, but what do you do with someone who's dead? What do you do with someone who receives a mortal injury? What do? You bury them. In Acts chapter 2, when they heard Peter's preaching, the Bible says they were pricked in the heart. They were stabbed through the heart. The words of Peter was so piercing that they felt their heart was cut by the teaching that Jesus Christ was the Messiah. From their own scriptures, he proved it. Along with their own experience, what they saw of Jesus. What do you do with a man whose heart has been cut and pierced? You bury them. What comes up? Something new? Something different. But what happens? What has to happen before we can be buried? We have to die to self. Our own hearts are damaged and broken. But we rise in the name of Christ to live as He would have us to live. That's a beautiful, glorious, beautiful passage. And a very beautiful picture. They say a picture is worth 1,000 words. I think that's worth way far more than that. So when it comes down to it, can God's people have unity? Can all people have unity in the things that God has said? We can. We can see the Bible light. We just have to decide to make sure we die to self and live as God would have us to live. If there is someone here this morning that you would like to know more about the gospel, and maybe someone here would like to obey the gospel of Jesus Christ, that's amazing. We're going to have a song. And if you have a need to ask for the prayers of the church, or you want to be restored if you're faithful, if you're a child of God that's fallen away, if you want to be restored, or if you want to talk about being baptized into Christ this very hour, would you please come as we sing, and sing this hymn. Washed in the crimson flood.
How sweet, how heavenly is the sight when those that love the Lord in one another's peace delight and so fulfill the word. Love is the golden chain that binds happy souls above, and he's an heir of heaven who finds his bosom glow with love. Be seated for the announcements and the prayer.
Again, we want to welcome all of our visitors, and if you would, if you've not done so, please take a card out of the pew in front of you and fill that out and leave it on the pew so that we have a record of your attendance. And please stop in and worship with us every opportunity that you have. Just a few updates on some of our sick. Bruce Slaughter has been put on comfort care. He's back at the nursing home after having hip surgery. So let's continue to keep Bruce in our prayers. Shelby's home. She's recovering. Just appreciate all the calls and the cards and the food. And I was telling everybody, I think the girls have both lost about 10 or 15 pounds, and I've gained every bit of it. So thank y'all again for all the food and all the love. This is a note from Shelby that says, to my Christian family in Hyco, thank you so much for all the cards, texts, visits, food during this crazy time. Thank you most of all for the prayers. It was really encouraging to know that so many were going to the Father for me. I love you all so much, and I'm thankful to finally be home in Christian love, Shelby. Continue to keep Betty Patterson in your prayers. She's going to have a pacemaker put in this Tuesday the 14th, and Lord willing, that'll get her straightened out as she's as she's been dealing with some heart issues. Donald Mayfield mentioned that his daughter, Donna Ferguson, has a nurse that is having some heart trouble and that they had asked for prayers for her. Paul McNally is not here with us this morning, but I just want to ask that everybody continue to keep him in your prayers. Sounds like they're going to stop his chemo treatments, as it just doesn't seem like they're doing much good at this point. So let's be praying for him. I know he's supposed to have a scan done pretty soon, so we'll get some results there. Andrea mentioned that Mark Martinez, a coach at Tarleton, was killed in a car accident Friday morning. That's a friend of a co-worker of Andrea, so let's keep that Mark Martinez family in our prayers. Tommy Culpepper, a friend of Melissa's that we've been praying for, he passed away from COVID, so let's be praying for that family as well. And we want to rejoice, as we know the angels in heaven did, as Lila Richards obeyed the gospel this last week. That's Zachary's girlfriend that he's been studying with, and we've all been praying for, and so happy to have her and be able to call her sister in Christ now. So that's fantastic news. Let's go to our Heavenly Father in prayer. Father God in heaven, we thank you so much for this day. Father, we are blessed each and every opportunity that you allow us to assemble as the body of Christ here in Hyco to worship you. And Father, we pray that as we do so, we come before you with humble hearts, thankful, Father, for the salvation that we have in Christ Jesus, thankful for the word, and thankful for the guidance that we have through your word, Father, of the way that you wish for us to live and the examples that you